Go wild with Nation Gear's end of regular season merch madness sale. Nation Gear is offering our favorite fans 20% off all regular season merch, and we're going to give you free shipping on any orders over $200. Stock up your closet for the playoffs, rep your team, and grab that merch you've been eyeing up all season long. Don't wait. This sale only lasts from April 1st until April 7th. Shop the sale at nationgear.ca.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. How's everyone doing? Tim's here looking in a t-shirt, Tim. Look at you.
Friend of the show.
Oh, it is. It is one of our merch shirts. I was like, that's a trendy looking shirt. The friend of the show shirt. That's a big logo, too. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, we're going to go a little bit smaller with the next run, but it still looks great. Fits great. Very comfortable. Go buy one.
Go buy one. Where do they find it, Tim?
You can find it on Everything Hockey's website. You can find the link on our website, droppingthegloves.com. You can also find the link on all of our socials. Go check it out, please. Please and thank you.
You want to know funny? This just popped in my head. I had someone come over to the house tomorrow because we're, fingers crossed, going to start the build very, very soon. And he had to do something for something. And so I'm showing him the property. He's taking pictures. Bob is his name. And I get in the car and we're about to leave and we just shake hands. We're just talking, chatting randomly. And he's an older guy, probably a couple years, you know, maybe 50, I want to say, around that age. And I'm like, all right, yeah, have a good day. We'll see you. And he goes, yes, say hi to your partner, Tim, for me. I'm like, what? Like, what are you talking? I'm like, and it didn't click. Don't take offense to this, Tim. It did not click because I wasn't in hockey world. I was just in like... here's where we're going to build the house. This is a septic. That's that. There's this and all that. And the first thing that pops from my mind is like, this guy thinks I'm gay. Yeah, like my partner. What are you talking about? And he goes, no, I didn't want to bring it up when we were walking around, but love the show. I was like, there you go. Random, completely random.
Thanks, Bob.
So shout out to Bob. And apparently he likes you, Tim. He said, say hi to your partner, Tim, for me. So there you go. So strange that people listen to this show. Very bizarre. But yeah, anyways, I thought that was funny. Do you ever get noticed? The reason I thought of that is because you have this shirt that says friend of the show. I wonder if you'll walk around North Carolina, people will go, I listen to that show too. And you'll go, guess what? I'm Tim.
No, people that listen know I'm in Charlotte, and a couple of them have reached out from the Charlotte area, but I don't think I'd run into someone that, you know, if you're in Charlotte, like, say hello, but I doubt it's going to happen down here. It's going to happen up in Traverse or in Boston or Chicago, one of the bigger cities.
That would be fun. Very fun. You know what else is fun? Bet99. Did you know that, Tim? I knew
it. I do.
And this episode is brought to you by Bet99. Who has been voted number one online gaming experience in Canada. They have same game day parlays, player props, flash bet markets. You can elevate to the highest extent your experience at Bet99. Today's pick, Tim. Tyler Bertuzzi. 7 goals, 9 points. If I do the math, that's 2 assists in his last 9 games. He's playing on Austin Matthews' line. He's playing his best hockey of the season. And by the way, he gets his nose dirty. There's a scrum. He's in the middle of it. I love his passion for the game. So check him out. That's our pick for today. You got to be 19 plus. And you need to play responsibly. And it's only available to people in Ontario, Canada. Because Bet99 is built by Canadians for Canadians. Check it out. Only if you're in Ontario. Imagine if you were on the border. You know, you lived in Alberta or Winnipeg. I want to say Winnipeg, Manitoba. So close. Can't do it, though, because you got to be in Ontario, fortunately. All right, Tim, moving on. We are drastically hurtling towards the playoffs. Thomas hurtling towards the playoffs in the NHL right now. And things which were once fairly clear 2 weeks ago. when you looked at the standings, there was a pretty clear-cut 8 teams on both sides that were going to make this playoff run. Well, fast forward to now. Things have tightened up dramatically, especially in the Eastern Conference. The Flyers are sucking it up. The Capitals are playing good hockey. The Red Wings are scuttling along and managing to stay in the conversation. And don't look now, but the Islanders are stringing together some wins. So the teams that need to win are, and the teams that are trying to distance themselves are not winning. So everything's coming together in this big group of teams in the Eastern Conference that everybody's vying for two positions, a third seed in the Metro and the second wildcard seed, because the first wildcard seed taken up by the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they're not going anywhere. And then in the West, which we thought was just a foregone conclusion, those 8 teams are locked in a month ago. No business even having a discussion. Do you remember we did that whole show like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, and we got to the West, and I'm like, Tim, what are we doing here? What's the point? These teams are locked in. Well, don't I look stupid? Don't I feel like a horse's ass for telling you that, Tim? You put all that work in, and here I am, Mr. Curmudgeon, saying, oh, well, I know more than anybody. Well, I am eating my words, because all of a sudden, the Los Angeles Kings can't win a game. Nashville Predators have slowly come back down to earth. The St. Louis Blues are playing pretty darn good hockey. And the Minnesota Wild, they're not out of it yet. 6-2-2 in their last 10. They're winning some games. They're beating some teams that they're trying to catch. So things have tightened up quite a bit, which is good for us because we get to talk about it. But it's bad for me because I have to admit that I was wrong. That's hard for me to do. But I was wrong, Tim. So where do you want to start, the East or the West?
Let's start with the East. We spent a lot of time the last couple of weeks, almost every episode, talking about the playoff race, the odds, the matchups, and all that. But a lot has changed just in the 2 days since Monday's episode. So let's take us back just to how the games went the last couple of days. On Monday night, the Flyers lost 4-3 in overtime versus the Islanders. They did get 1 point, which is going to be important to them. But that
mind you, by the way, they should have lost that game outright. They got very fortunate and scored 10 seconds left in the game to tie that game up. And the Islanders should have had the puck cleared. But anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, and then the Detroit Red Wings had those two games they lost over the weekend. And then finally, they got the win in Tampa on Monday night. So they have a little bit of a break. They have, I think they play tomorrow night at home versus the Rangers. But a big 4-2 win for Detroit. And the Capitals lost last night on Tuesday 6-2. The Buffalo Stinkin' Sabres of all teams. So
the Stinkin' Sabres.
they're losing and it's getting closer where it shouldn't be. And meanwhile, the Islanders, they beat the Flyers on Monday, like we just said. They beat the Hawks last night. And all of a sudden, this was a 2, maybe a 3-team race 3 days ago. Now it's a 4-team race. You look at the standings. The Flyers have 83 points. The Capitals have 82. The Wings have 82. And the Islanders are right there with 81. And so all of a sudden, statistically, it's still a little bit more spread out, but anything can happen. That's why they play the games. And the Islanders have made things very interesting by winning the last two games.
Yeah. And then when you look at the games in hand, the Flyers have played 76 games. So they, statistically speaking, odds on, they are the odd duck out in this one. The Capitals have 1 game, 2 games in hand. And then the Islanders have another game in hand. And they're all within 2 points of the Philadelphia Flyers. So the Flyers, somehow, some way, have managed to just scuttle their season, the feel-good story of this season, by just playing horrendous hockey over the last month of the season. And I enjoy a John Tortorella interview. I especially enjoy a John Tortorella post-game interview when he's in that sarcastic mood where he's just answering questions to the reporters like, well, what do you think? You think we played good? What do you think we're going to do in the off? Like, it just is so fun to watch him. And he had one of those interviews after the Flyers game. They asked him what went wrong, what went right. And he's like, what went right? Nothing. Nobody played good. Everybody was garbage. We're soft. We're easy to play against. He's like, the only player who played good is that new goaltender, Ivan Fedotov or whatever. Yeah. He's like, he's the only one who showed up to play. It's and he goes, this is good that this is happening. It's good I'm learning this now. Because in the offseason, he's going to go scorched earth. This will be a completely new team next year. And as a player, if you're sitting there watching this, you're like, oh my gosh, we've had such a good season. we're playing out of our minds all season long. We shouldn't even be here. And now we're all, it's just ruined because of one stretch of really, really bad hockey. But Torts is so fun to watch. If you haven't seen him, you guys, just catch a post game for the Philadelphia Flyers. It's so fun. He treats the press like garbage. He talks down to them. He just sends messages to his players all day long. Everything he says has a meaning. It's poignant and it's directed at his players. And it's just really, really great. I played for him. It was hard reading it in the papers saying these guys don't deserve it. I don't know who I can trust. Nobody played good. We were just soft. It makes you want to run through a wall for him, honestly, if you're that type of player. But if you're not, you just shut down completely, as Patrick Laine was in Columbus and other players were, obviously. But it's fun to watch. But yeah, getting back to the race, Tim, have you revised your picks? Do you think the Islanders have what it takes to catch either the Flyers? Do you think the Red Wings can slip into that second wild card spot? The Capitals are there. They have two games in hand on the Flyers, and they're, what, 1 point behind them? So they statistically are there. They're in the second wild card right now. Which of these four teams fills those two spots? The Red Wings have to get into the second wild card. They can't jump into the Metro, so their only avenue is to get to that wild card. But the Flyers, Capitals, and Islanders, they have two options that they can get to. So what do you think? Who's going to make the playoffs, Tim?
Well, I really want to say the Capitals and the Wings. I think the Capitals probably jump up to the third in the Metro, and then it comes down to that second wild card spot. And I want to say the Wings, for one, they beat Tampa in a big statement win last night, and obviously the Flyers have played some bad hockey. But when you look at the strength of schedule, the Flyers' next three games are Buffalo, Columbus, Montreal. Like, those should be three wins, but they've shown me nothing in the last week or two that those are going to be wins at all. So, plus, those games are all on the road. So I'm thinking I'm locking in on the Capitals and the Wings as my two teams right now. But again, ask me on Friday, it might be a completely different story. That's kind of the fun of this time of year. Like, it's one of the tighter and even stranger playoff races and wild card races that we've seen in a few years. It's just the way these teams are jumbling around, and there have been ample opportunity for a team like the Philadelphia Flyers and others to grab the reins and run away with it, and they haven't done it. You can see how that comes out in Torch's frustrations.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on the team's making. I think the Wings will make it in. They have a slightly easier strength of schedule. They're playing well. They beat the Lightning, but they got the Rangers, the Sabres, a big game versus the Capitals, and the Penguins, Leafs, Canadiens. So it's not a very simple road to get into the playoffs, but when you contrast that to the Islanders, they get the Predators, they get the Rangers, they get the Rangers again, they get the Devils and the Penguins. That's a tough road for the Islanders, and they have not been playing great hockey themselves. They beat the Blackhawks last night 2-1. They get a fluky goal that bounces off a Dasher, and they get a power play goal late to tie it up. So they easily could have lost that game. So I kind of would like to see the Islanders in. I like their goaltending. I really like their defense. I think they could make a little more noise in the playoffs than the Red Wings, but yeah, I think you're right. I think it's going to be the Capitals, third seed in the Metro, and the Red Wings' second wildcard spot. And then it's going to be really, really fun to see the implosion this summer, what happens at Philadelphia. Because Tortorella will want to make changes. It's just, it's inevitable. He hates his team. Like, I think what that sort of boils down to. He hates them. Not a perfect hatred, like my hatred for Liam O'Brien. But he just doesn't like them. For whatever reason, they don't play the type of hockey that he wants to play. And he can't change them. So... And it's something has to break there.
He's kind of like, he's a sort of a black and white guy. Like, you're either one of his guys or you're not, right?
100%.
It's like, I don't know how much of the later seasons of The Office that you watch, but Robert California is the guy that takes over from Michael, and they find a list of all the employees with half the names on the left side of the list and half the names on the right. They're trying to figure out what it means. And he's basically like, these are the people I like, these are the people I don't. Like, just figure it out, work it out amongst yourselves. And I feel like he's got one of those lists in his office, and he knows who he likes and he knows who he doesn't. And there's probably more guys in the unlike column right now, like you said. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what this team does in the next couple of weeks. And then, of course, it's going to be a huge summer for them.
Yeah, they have a couple first rounders. They'll find their way. And this, like, like we mentioned, this wasn't supposed to be a successful season for them. So the fact they're even in the hunt is a lot of fun for them. And yeah. Torts, hey, you never know. He could find a way. Put that big Russian in net to start the game. That could be the game changer. That guy's massive. He fills up the six, whole seven, stinking net.
Yeah.
They said he's 6'8". He's the tallest goalie ever to play. He beats Ben Bishop by like half an inch. But get this. He only weighs like 200 pounds. 205 pounds, that's what he says. 6'8". It's incredible. Tim, speaking, I was 6'8".
I got a tweet yesterday that someone almost drove off the road when they were listening to the Monday show when I said that Quick was better than Miller. But he swerved back because you corrected me right away. So
see, yeah, I have to be here to rein you in because there's not a chance in the world Quick was better than Miller. Like, it's just bonkers. You're too young to remember peak Miller. You're just a baby.
I remember peak Miller, 2007, 2008, 2009.
You don't. What were you, like 12 then? Tim, you don't even know peak Ryan Miller. He's incredible. I should call him right now and tell him what you said to him. He would be upset. If I did, it would evolve into a probably 45-minute conversation about the state of Israel and Gaza. Because he just loves talking about political stuff. But I'm like, Millsy, like, just pump the brakes here. Let's just relax. All right, moving on. Staying in the East, one of, if not the only Stanley Cup favorite coming out of the East, little less than a month ago, the team that went into the deadline did okay getting Vladimir Tarasenko, didn't need to do much because they were just a juggernaut. As Tim likes to say, they were a wagon. Well, all of a sudden, the wheels, Tim, are falling off this wagon. And the Florida Panthers are going through a little bit of a lull. Last 10 games, 2 wins. Not good. 4-8-1 since the trade deadline. What is going on in Florida? Is there cause for concern, or is this just getting ready for the playoffs? Maybe not too concerned. Your positioning's already set. You're going to play Toronto first round. Why bother? Why? Just save it for the playoffs. Or is it panic button time? We got to get ready for the playoffs. What's going on here?
I don't know that I'm quite panicking, but I am concerned. And like you said, 2 wins in their last 10, only one of those was in regulation. One of them was in overtime. So it's like, there is cause for concern here, and specifically with this group, because if you look at where they were last year, they were playing so badly, and then they had that turnaround around the time that Keith Tkachuk spoke about them on the broadcast. And, you know, we talked about this last year, and they turned things around, went on a run going into the playoffs to get that last spot, which they just barely squeezed in, was because of how strong they played in March and April. And then, of course, they go on a run to the Cup Finals. It's the opposite of this year. Like, they played really well. You kind of thought they were an elite team, and all of a sudden they're just scrambling and not playing well. And you'd want to ramp up to toward the playoffs to kind of play your best hockey this time of year in the final weeks of the season. And they've got 2 more weeks to do that. So maybe there's a turning point here, but they lost again in last night. And so I am concerned, especially since, like, they're not a veteran team that you don't have to worry about. Like, when we talk about what Stepan said about, like, hey, just get to the playoffs. We've been here forever. You know, doesn't matter where we fall in. I think Florida is a team that needs momentum. They need things to kind of swing their way. And when they're not getting it, I'm concerned. Yeah. And you know, I don't know what the first round matchup's going to be yet, but there's not going to be an easy one, most likely. So
it's going to be Toronto.
You think so?
100%. Yeah. I don't think Boston slips from that first place. Surprisingly. Yeah. They're 4 points clear of the Panthers, and they're, 8 points clear of the Maple Leafs. So I don't think those standings will change. They'll play the Maple Leafs. And I tend to disagree with you with their veteran late in team. Yeah. They've been through the rigors of the playoffs last year. They have some, you know, they have some guys who have been around the block in the playoffs. Even Matthew Tkachuk, going back to his time in Calgary, you got Barkov. You bring in what's his face from Buffalo, who's not really playing, but he's been around the block a little bit. You got OEL. You have some veteran guys there. So I'm not concerned with the Panthers, Tim. I feel like they'll be fine. They'll figure it out. They got a good team. What is a little bit of a cause of concern is they played the Leafs a couple games ago. They just got just like shellacked 5-1 in the first few periods, but then they started to claw their way back. 5-2, 5-3, 5-4, almost tied it up. Austin Matthews gets the empty netter to make him 62 goals, and the game is iced. But they did have that pushback. So those little things like that, I look at, I'm like, okay, we're okay. They could have easily let the game slip aside, but they are still my favorites in the East. Even going through this little lull, I feel like they got a good team. I'm not worried about them. Have they fallen for you from that top spot? Is Carolina, the Rangers, Boston, Toronto taken over that Eastern Conference favorite position you had?
I think you have to say that. I mean, all those teams are winning right now. They have more points. They're ahead of them in the standings. I mean, one regulation win in the last 10 and a losing record by a lot since you added Tarasenko, since you added Kyle Okposo. Like, you should have been a better team after that. And instead, you're playing worse. I don't think they're it's not panic, but I think it's good cause for concern. And most likely they'll play Toronto. I would probably pick Toronto in that series.
You would. You would. I wouldn't. Oh, if Toronto gets beat in the first round again. Oh my gosh, how glorious would it be? The heads that would roll. Would Shanahan finally, and I say prayers, would he finally lose his job if they lost in the first round? He got rid of Babcock first. Then it was Dubas' turn to go. It has to be Shanahan next. And I'm not going to count my chickens before they hatch.
What about Sheldon Keefe?
Oh, the whole group would go. Like everybody. You can't get rid of Trevealing. He's brand new. But you get rid of Keefe, you get rid of Shanahan, you get rid of all the higher ups, all the senior advisors, it would be just maybe. I don't know. Unless he knows something on the Molson family that I don't, or Toronto Sports Entertainment that I don't know about. That Shanahan's a slippery, slippery son of a gun, isn't he? Those guys. Well, that old boys club scares me a little bit. When Eiserman looked at me in the eyes, I saw him at the press box level. Like, that guy he knows stuff. And I just averted my eyes. I said,
yeah. Well, it won't be the players. The players are locked in. So they're not going to trade any of those guys.
Yeah, they are locked in. Win, lose, or draw, they're not going anywhere. All right, moving on, Tim. We've talked about the Florida Panthers. I'm getting kind of hungry. What can I do if I'm hungry, Tim?
Well, John, the only thing sweeter than the taste of victory is starting your day with a new Cinnabon pull-apart from Wendy's. But there's no reason you can't both have both now that Wendy's and Daily Face-Off Fantasy are giving you a chance to win weekly prizes all season long. And hey, even if you make a few wrong picks, at least you know heading to Wendy's right now for a $5 Cinnabon pull-apart and small coffee is a great choice. Sign up for Daily Faceoff today, sponsored by Wendy's and the Wendy's app. The other team I want to talk about, John, out West, is really only one story out West. All the other teams are locked in. They're playing great. The LA Kings are slipping. They've lost 3 in a row. Meanwhile, Vegas has won 3 in a row. Remember, they were struggling for a few weeks after the trade deadline and the All-Star break. They've won 3 in a row, and their position's a flip, where Vegas is now third in their division, and the Kings have slipped down to the second wild card behind the Predators. They've got 87 points, and right behind them, sneaking up ever so quietly, is the St. Louis Blues with 84 points. Do you see any scenario in which the LA Kings slip out of their spot?
Absolutely. Which is crazy to say, Tim. Like, absolutely bonkers to say, because I thought they were going to run away with it in the Pacific. They were going to be third in the Pacific. But they have just been playing really, really bad hockey lately, and I don't know, and I've watched them quite a bit just because they played the Hawks. They're on the West Coast. I like the way they play. But lately, they just have been playing very uninspired hockey. Lose to the Flames. Lose to the Oilers. Lose last night to the Winnipeg Jets. So it was just a terrible road trip on the Canadian coast there for them. But I don't know, Tim. If any team can right the ship, it's the LA Kings, right? They have Doughty. You have Kopitar. You have all those other veteran guys. Kempe's been around the block. Fiala's been around the block. You have a solid core of players who can right the ship. I just don't know. I just don't know if I trust their goaltenders. Talbot's playing okay, but the St. Louis Blues have that same boat. So cause of concern, not as high as the Philadelphia Flyers, obviously, but it's there. LA Kings have games in hand on the Blues. They're same as the Wild, but they're still 6 points up on the Wild. They're what, 3 points up on the Blues with that one game in hand. So it's not panic. And when you look at the LA Kings schedule down the stretch, they have what, 8 games left. It's not outrageous. In the Western Conference, you do get some cupcakes just based based on the teams out there just kind of going all in for Macklin Celebrini. So they get the Sharks, they get the Ducks, they get the Flames, they get the Ducks again, and they finish up with the Hawks. That's 5 of 8, and all 5 of those teams are in the lottery. So they should make the playoffs. But stranger things have happened. So I'm not too concerned, but it does make it interesting down the stretch for these teams, because this was locked in, like I said earlier in the show. This was locked in a month ago, where these guys were 10 points clear of the next closest team, and they were playing great hockey. So, I don't know. Do you think there's any chance of St. Louis catching them?
A little bit, but most likely I'm not concerned. I'm more concerned about like how this might carry over into the playoffs for them, where you need production up and down the lineup that you're not getting. And I know he's kind of become the whipping boy, but like Dubois is still playing like really poorly. He should be, I know that he brings enough offense that he doesn't need to, or brings enough defense and two-way play that he doesn't need to be an offense-only player, but he should still produce like a top 30, 35, 40 forward, and he's not doing anything close to that. And so that's an issue when you're paying, you know, $10.5 million to a guy who's not producing. You're not getting enough from secondary scorers right now, and like the goaltending's been just okay, like you said. So that's concerning. I don't really worry too much about the Blues catching them, just because of they have a game in hand, they have 3 points in hand, and they play a very easy schedule. The Blues play, you know, a relatively easy schedule too, just for the same reason, like you said. But like they have the Sharks, the Ducks, the Hawks, the Kraken, but they also play Carolina and Nashville and Dallas. So they have a couple of tough games too. So I feel like it's going to be the Kings. But my concern is less about will they make the playoffs and more about are they going to be a one and done, because they're just not playing good enough right now. And unless something dramatic changes with their production, they're going to have a very short postseason.
You almost gave me a heart attack when you said Dubois made $10.5 million. I have to go check real quick. He makes $8.5
million. Sorry.
Which is still a lot of money. Which is still a sizable amount for a guy who is only getting, what does he have? How many points does he have this year? I think he has 35. 15 goals, 20 assists in 74 games. He's been terrible. $8.5 million. He gets 35 points. So he has been a huge failure. I guarantee you, Kevin Cheveldayoff from the Winnipeg Jets just laughs every time he sees Dubois and his stat line and his salary cap and everything that goes along with him, all the bells and whistles, the drama, the pouting, the complaining. And he just looks at his lineup. He's like, I got a first rounder. I got Iafallo. And I got, who was the other guy they picked up?
Vilardi.
Unbelievable. Vilardi was the best player in that trade. I said it then, I'll say it again now. But I don't know where I'm going with this. It just bothers me. I've watched a lot of that, the Kings, like I was saying. They live and die on Kopitar, Byfield, and Kempe. That's who they rely on. They play those guys 20 to 25 minutes a night. And as they go, the LA Kings go. They don't get a lot of secondary scoring from Lewis and Fiala and those types of players. A little bit here and there. But as that first line goes, the LA Kings go. When you look at their roster, it's like Kopitar, Kempe, Byfield. And I guess Fiala's up there too. But those three guys in particular are just so incredibly good. So they'll lose first round to the Dallas Stars. It is what it is. The Dallas Stars have they're better. But it's unfortunate. I was very much looking forward to an LA Kings, Edmonton Oilers first round. They seem to play each other very well. Match up well with Connor McDavid. I don't think they match up as good with the Dallas Stars. But now we get a Golden Knights Edmonton Oilers first round. So it's almost even better. You get Hurdle coming back. You got Stone potentially coming back. You got Eichel. You got the star powers there. But, and then here's, and I don't want to just stay on this because I don't know if it's that interesting. LA Kings didn't do anything at the deadline. And I really applauded them for that. Rob Blake saw what he had. He didn't mortgage the future. He said, we're going to ride this out. We're not going to go out and make any huge splashes because I know we're not a Stanley Cup contender this year. And so maybe this was expected. The teams that are jumping in front of them in the standings, the Vegas Golden Knights, the Edmonton Oilers, these types of teams, they made moves at the deadline. So this was expected. So yeah, we can, you know, complain and this and that and state how they're not, you know, making a jump. They didn't expect to make a jump. This is exactly where they wanted to be. And the same can be said for the Philadelphia Flyers. The same can be said for these other teams. So take it all with a grain of salt. The LA Kings are not supposed to win the Stanley Cup this year. They're not supposed to be in contention, but it's good that they're there, but their time will come. It's not right now. It's moving on, Tim. What else are we talking about?
Yeah, the MVP chatter. And I saw your tweet yesterday about the fact that Matthews is probably going to score 70 and not even be a finalist for the trophy, which is crazy to think about. I don't know. Do you feel like he should deserve the MVP, or do you feel like it belongs to some of those other guys?
Well, I think I just stated it right there. I think he is having a great scoring year. He'll win the Maurice Rocket Richard, which is good for him. You know, we got 62 years ago. Last year, he took a little bit of a dip, and I think he had 40. But this year, he's getting, like, he might get 70. This is incredible. Not a lot of guys can score 70 goals in the game the way it's, you know, defended and the way the goaltenders play the game. But he's having a fantastic season. 62 goals is a huge, monumental amount. And if he hits 70, I'd put him in the top three. I'll say that. I would put him in the top three, and I would maybe push – but who do you push out? That's it. Everybody's having an incredible season. Like, which one is the odd one out? It can't be McKinnon. He's playing lights out. Kucherov is playing out of this world, and McDavid is doing McDavid things. So who do you push out of that? And the thing that hurts Matthews is he has 70 goals. He only has like 20 assists, right? Or if he has 70 goals, he'll have like 20 assists. So he doesn't balance his attack very well. He's a shooter, which he should win the Maurice Rocket Richard Trophy. So do you have any other opinion? Do you think he should be in the MVP conversation?
No, I don't. I think it belongs squarely to those other three. And for the reason that you said, and also I saw a tweet last night or the other day about how many goals Matthews scores. Some are empty nets, and some are, there's a lot of goals in like where he's just padding a lead, where he's scoring when the team's already winning 5-2 or whatever. And there's a lot of that. And, you know, when it matters most, not to say that he doesn't get the job done, but I'd much rather have, with the game on the line, I want Kucherov. You know, like, he's a proven winner. He delivers when it matters most. He can have 3 points in a period to get you back in the game more than I think some of these other guys can. So that's why I think, and it's not a knock on Matthews to say he shouldn't be a Hart finalist when these other three guys are doing what they're doing. You know, that's not an insult to the guy. Like, it's just, there's three better players in the league this year and probably overall, period.
Yeah, it's a fun time to be a hockey fan because these guys are incredible. Staying in the same goal-scoring vein, though, Connor McDavid. He's only got 29 goals, Tim. He had 64 last year. He was trending upwards. He was slowly ascending his goal-scoring and his point totals. This year, he's trending downwards. Are you concerned with Connor McDavid? People have figured him out. He only has 29. That's not very many.
No, I think McDavid can just decide what he wants to do at any given point in terms of, like, I want to be more of a playmaker. I want to score more. Last year, he definitely decided to score more. We saw it the entire season. And I would have expected more of that to continue. I don't think 60 goals every year is reasonable, but I would have thought he'd be like a 40, 50 goal scorer from now on for the next 10 years or whatever. But I'm not concerned. I mean, the guy has 120, what, 4 points, 25 or whatever. I saw a Gretzky-like stat the other day that if you took away his goals in his career, he still has over a point per game just based on his assist alone, which is just one of those stats that doesn't make any sense. So now there's nothing McDavid is doing that gives me any cause for concern.
I'm a little concerned.
Look, are you?
He's got less than half. It's a big number. You need him to score. Now. You need him to score.
You do. You need letters in the playoffs.
He does. That's the thing. Everyone likes to dog him, but he shows up when the lights are the brightest. I wish I could say the same about Matthews. That guy just shrinks in the playoffs. Isn't it funny? I don't know. All right. And I put this question on the agenda. Tim, if you had to start a team starting from today, you had to pick one of these four players to build around. Nobody else. One of these four. Kucherov, Matthews, McDavid, McKinnon. Who would you take?
For me, it's between McKinnon and McDavid, and I think I'm going to go with McKinnon, mostly because, like we talked about, I think he's the more complete player. I'd rather have 105, 110 points, which is closer to McKinnon's average. I know he's outperforming that this year, but I'd rather have that and all the other stuff that he brings, plus just that doggedness and the strength, and, you know, he's just so good in the puck. Versus an offense-only guy that's putting up 130. And again, this is not a knock on McKinnon in any, or McDavid in any way whatsoever. But I just, if I had to pick one, it's McKinnon.
Why do you hate Russia? Well, I just why said, do you hate Stanley Cups?
McKinnon's
coming
got
back from hip surgery and just lighting the world on fire. Why do you hate Kucherov? Tell me, what's your problem?
If you pose a different question and said, hey, 5 minutes left in the third period, you need two goals, which one do you want on your team? I'm probably picking Kucherov in that scenario. But in terms of building a team, I'm picking McKinnon.
I want a guy who makes Braden Point a superstar. I want a guy who chugs beers. I want a guy who produces when the lights are the brightest. I want a guy who's just a good all-around dude in the locker room. And that's Nikita Kucherov. He's so undervalued and he's so disrespected because he's Russian.
Well, and I think he's also got attitude issues with the
good attitude,
the presser stuff and the all-star stuff. And I understand why people are annoyed with him, but he's incredible. Doesn't matter.
To me, it's Kucherov or McKinnon, which is bonkers because McDavid is probably the most talented. Not probably. He is the most talented. I just think Nikita Kucherov brings the intangibles. He makes everybody around him better. And the way he sees the game and the way he plays the game, it's almost like he's playing chess and we're playing checkers. I know it's a cliche to say, but when you watch him on the ice, so patient. So incredibly poised with the puck. It's just fun to watch. McDavid gets it and he has the burst and he out athleticizes you, if that's a word. Like, he's just a better athlete. He's got his quick twitch, his this and that. Like, he can shoot it like incredible. Kucherov sees the game. Like, he gets it. You know what I mean? He's like a savant out there, just like, like, he doesn't have to skate hard to impact the game. Whereas McKinnon is a bull. He bursts through people. McDavid is a bullet. He goes around people. He's just insanely skilled. Kucherov is just, he's an artist. You know what I mean?
Yes,
it's like John Wick, and he's painting his Picasso. And that's who I want. And then the fact that he can do that, and then we can go back and dummy beers in the locker room and hang out. Stop.
That's a Russian thing too. Do you see his pictures this week traveling? Every day he's eating Subway and Cheetos. And smiling.
He does
with
that all the time.
Team.
That's his pregame. You need to be careful insulting the Russians, Tim. I'm not going to take it on this show.
What are you talking about?
I'm not going to stand for it.
It's in the same vein as Kucherov just chugging beers. And meanwhile, McKinnon's, you know, got the celery juice going and stuff. I like that about those guys.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still picking McKinnon, though. Can we agree? We both agreed on one thing, that it's not Matthews among those four. We're on the same page there.
Yeah, I think it would be on maybe number four. Unfortunately. And let me tell you this. Austin's not chugging beers. No, he's chugging something else. All right. Matt Rempe, probably celery juice or something. Something healthy. All right. Big, big game tonight, potentially. Matt Rempe, New York Rangers. Rematch with the New Jersey Devils. It's been a long time since these teams have played each other, a couple weeks. The last time they played, Matt Rempe went bonkers and absolutely buried. Was it Siegenthaler?
Yeah,
Siegenthaler. Got a 4-game suspension. Challenged to a fight by Curtis McDermott, newly acquired pugilist for the New Jersey Devils. Got him for the Colorado Avalanche at the trade deadline. Curtis McDermott, after the game, said, after a hit like that, it goes without saying. You should answer the bell and be a man about it. That was referencing the hit versus Bastion a couple weeks prior. And then Curtis McDermott continues. He said, then he throws another hit like that and gets him kicked out. There's a right way to go about things and a wrong way. I lost a lot of respect for him tonight. End quote. Thoughts, Tim, before we get to the predictions for tonight?
I like that quote because he's calling him out directly and indirectly through the media. And I also think the fact that he lost it means that at once he had it. I think McDermott saw this rookie coming up and dropping the gloves with Matt Martin and Reeves and a couple other guys. Delorier, did he fight him? Yep. Olivier yeah, Delorier. Like, all in the first 2 weeks. And McDermott's like, nice kid. Like, I like it. Keep it up. But you have to answer the bell when when the time is right and you didn't. And then he lost that respect. But I like the fact that he had it at first. And this is exactly what the Devils brought him in for. Not Rempe specifically, but to be that guy in that team. And when we talked about this a few weeks ago, you said he was right not to fight him to answer for the Bastion hit. But the next time they play, he should have to fight him for the Siegenthaler hit and the just everything else combined. So the question is, does Rempe get in the lineup tonight?
Well, let me go back to McDermott first. I've never been one to call people out in the press. You go through my, you know, decade-long career fighting. I don't think I did it once. The only time I might have done it was Perfect Hatred, Liam O'Brien, and Tom Sestito, who I also didn't really care for.
What about the FNUF thing?
I didn't call him out for not fighting me in the press. I called him out for not, you know, standing up like a man when I tried to hit him. I didn't say he should have fought me. I don't think I've ever said that. So I think McDermott maybe shouldn't have said that. And then another thing is, I don't care if you lost respect for it. Do you think Matt Rempe sees this quote and go, Curtis doesn't respect me anymore. I'm going to lose sleep over that. It's like, stop trying to make yourself so important. Since when did Curtis McDermott become, you know, the judge of the way things are run? Since when did Curtis McDermott become the spokesman for all tough guys currently in the league? Last time I checked, he ain't even in my top five.
He is. Yes, he is. Come on.
You know my list?
You've put him on the top five in the past. Who's
I don't think I have.
Five tougher guys?
Olivier Delorier. Well, Lucic has gone out, but it would have been Lucic. I think I want to say Rempe, but I can't do it.
McDermott's in the top five.
I didn't like how he went about this comments. But anyways, to the question at hand, should Rempe be in the lineup? Absolutely. And does he need to fight? You better believe he needs to fight. And I hope he knocks out Curtis McDermott. It would make for such great TV. It'd be so incredibly great. And I would be all there for it. And I have a connection to Curtis McDermott. We trained with the same guy, Jeremy Clark, out of Minnesota. So it is what it is. I didn't care for him. I've lost a lot of respect for him. Who cares? Shut up. Like, I hope he plays. And based on Rempe's track record of going into a game and there being like a buildup for a fight, he usually produces. He usually comes through. So he will fight if he plays. And I hope that he beats the tar out of him. I don't know if it'll happen. McDermott is, you know, he's a big dude. But I'll be watching. What do you think? What's the outcome of this fight, Tim?
Well, I call it out just because Rempe has been a healthy scratch for the past three games. And so there's a chance that he does. And that's why we're talking about whether or not he's even in the lineup and what Laviolette does. I think to your point, I think you had to put him in. And I think if you're Rempe, you're ready. I think you're expecting to fight. It'll probably happen in the first period. McDermott is starving for it. He wants it bad. And he probably feels pretty good about his chances. I don't really see a scenario where Rempe knocks out McDermott or wins decidedly. I think either McDermott gets him good or they just sort of wear each other out and the refs come in and break it up. And they both, because Rempe is one of his things he's good at is standing tall and not being like tossed around and like some other guys do, especially given his height. But I hope it happens. I think he's going to be in the lineup and I think they're going to fight and we'll have to see, you know, what happens tonight.
Well, McDermott's been a healthy scratch too. So he'll be playing though. He'll be in the lineup, but that'll be fun to watch. I will definitely be watching that matchup. All right, let's do some quick hits, Tim, and get out of here.
Our quick hits are brought to you by DoorDash. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more. Download the DoorDash app and enter promo code NATION25. Did you see this suspension that Ryan Hartman got for throwing a stick on the ice from the bench across at the ref, you know, kind of indirectly at the ref? He suspended three games. He's not going to appeal it. He basically said he let the emotions get the best of him. He was a little embarrassed about it. What did you think about the whole thing?
I think it's stupid. I don't think it should have been a suspension. It should have been maybe a 2-minute penalty. I don't know. It didn't even come close to hitting him. He just like torpedoed it across the ice. Three games. I would have maybe tried to fight it. what are you going to do? I think it's a reputation call. If it's somebody else, if it's Zuccarello throwing the stick, do you think he gets 3 games? I don't think so.
They also cited some, like, I think the term verbal abuse at the officials, either in that incident or throughout the game too, which had a factor in that as well.
Of course it does. You got to protect the referees at all costs.
Sidney Crosby is a name that we have not really talked about at all this year. And he's kind of like, he's almost so good that it's boring, but he's having one of his best goal scoring seasons in his career. He had 39 goals in his rookie year at 18. And here he is 18 seasons later, and he's got 39 goals again. He's going to finish with above 40 as you play that out over the rest of the year. He scored 51 once and 44 once. So he's having the third best goal scoring season of his career. And he's like 35. It's just astounding how good he is. And too bad that he won't make the playoffs.
And he just tied an NHL record for the most consecutive seasons with a point per game. And he tied Wayne Gretzky. 19 consecutive seasons getting a point per game. So the guy's a stud. I would love to see him in a different uniform next year, because the Penguins will be atrocious next year. They will be worse than this year. So is there ever a world where Sidney Crosby leaves the Pittsburgh Penguins? People thought you were crazy when you said Wayne Gretzky would never leave Edmonton. Then all of a sudden he's playing for the LA Kings. So stranger things have happened. You can tell there's animosity between him and Kyle Dubas. He didn't like Jake Guentzel leaving. Sure, he wasn't a fan of him bringing in Erik Karlsson, that baggage factory and this terrible hockey player. So we'll see what happens. Oh, I would love to see him leave. Go to Chicago. Come to Chicago, Sidney. Mentor Connor. Oh, remember, imagine a Crosby, Calabrini, Bedard first line. Oh, my goodness. It'd be fun. All right. Anything else, Tim?
Last one. We had a listener question on Instagram last night from Jeremy. He asked, what's the worst rinks to play in as a visiting team? And I'll just add a couple of categories to this, like the worst locker room facilities, the worst for travel and accommodation for fans. What was your experience?
Well, I wouldn't know from the fan standpoint because I was always a player, but for a player.
I mean, dealing with fans.
Oh, dealing with fans, it would probably be the Islanders, because you'd have to walk through the huge parking lot. And that's back at the Nassau Coliseum. It's not the new place, the UBS. I'd never played there, but that was terrible. But the worst rink facilities is the Washington Capitals. Terrible. Terrible, terrible room. No hot water. Showers are worse than a YMCA that's like 60 years old. Like, it's just incredible. You know the old showers where they have the big cylinder coming out of the middle of the floor, and all the little shower heads are connected at the top, so everyone's staring at each other. Yeah. And you gotta press the button, and it lasts like 40 seconds. That's what they have. Oh. They have two of those in a darkly lit back shower. That's like, how many people have been murdered in here? And it's just awful, awful, awful. So yeah, the Capitals by far. And they're trying to get a new rink deal done there, and then everybody's pandering, and I don't know if they're actually going to leave Washington and go play in Virginia. There's going
that
back
fell
and
through
forth
last week. So yeah.
It's all just maneuvering, trying to get the city to put up money. That's all it's about. Leonis isn't stupid. He's trying to get the city to play the lion's share of a new arena. Everybody does that. It's happening right now with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Kansas City Royals. They're trying to get the city to pay for renovations and a new stadium, and the people just voted it down. Like, we're done lining these billionaires' pockets, Tim. We're done. It's time they pay their fair share. It's tax to elite, tax to rich. You know what I mean, Tim? You probably wouldn't like that. You 1%er. Make me sick. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Anything else, Tim?
No, go buy a t-shirt.
Where can they buy them?
I've told them. Go on our socials, find the links.
DroppingTheGloves.ca. All right, everybody. Talk to you Friday. Cheers. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.